Well, good morning again. It's good to see you. A lot more fun than a camera. I'll tell you, preaching is just one of my favorite things to do. I enjoy the preparation. I enjoy the teaching. I enjoy learning in preparation. But I also enjoy the delivery. A lot of fun doing it. Without people sitting here, it's not nearly as much fun. It just isn't. And I know it's a small thing. I love all of you. I don't know what it is. Seeing Dennis sitting right here just makes me feel good. That's just all it is. It's just, I like it. I like it. So, just these little things, you know. Well, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody who's a mother, everybody who's not a mother. Again, it's a wonderful role to take on, a very difficult role to take on, but a very, very serious one, and one that can bring with it a lot of joy. So I love celebrating motherhood. It's a very, very sacred role. Before we get too far into it, this is our second Sunday of the month, and what we like to do every second Sunday of the month is to keep people up to speed on where we are in our giving for the year. We've been doing fairly well. We need to average to meet budget $7,353 a Sunday. $7,353 to meet budget every Sunday. But obviously, when you're not meeting together, you can't do that. It's only realistic if you're going to meet every Sunday. There's no way in God's creation that you're going to meet your goal, your giving goal for that month, if you don't meet together. Through the month of April, that is last month, we did not meet at all. We did not average 7,353. You averaged $7,913.85 in your giving. That's crazy. That's crazy. The reality is there's a lot to life, and part of that is the means by which we do things. Part of that's treasure, a lot of that is time and talent and all these things, and so all of this stuff is important. But one of the things that we gain from giving something tangible is a recognized step of faith, act of faith. Whenever we give up something and we realize that God's going to provide for us. And so that's easily seen, I think. It's not that it's most important, but it's easily seen when we give some of our tangible things. So that's what it is. It's an act of faith and an act of love for those around you. Through this time, we have never once had to cut back on anything that we give to our missions. We've never had to cut back on any of the things that we need going forward with student or children's ministry. We haven't had to cut back on anything that we need for food pantry. We haven't had to do any of that stuff because we continue to give. And I've told this story before. I'll just tell you one more time. I did talk to a lady when all of this started. She doesn't go to church here, and I've told this before. But we were talking about the potential difficulty in churches when this stuff started, and she looked me square in the eye. She says, I don't worry about that church of yours. She said, there's a few around that I might be concerned for. She said, but I know that church and I know those people. She said, stop worrying about that church. I think that's why. You know, we were reeling a little bit in March, trying to get our legs underneath of us. That's why, you know, we're a little bit off on budget, but that's okay. But once we recovered our balance, I think we were off and running. And I have noticed something over 38 years being a part of this body. Probably the worst thing Satan can do is give us a chance to catch our breath. Because then we come back pretty hard and pretty strong. So I think that that is displayed in our giving of time, treasure, and talent, as well as many other things. I've been spoiled. You'll see me looking at the clock a lot. I've been spoiled. Wait a minute, this is the last service of the day. It just clicked. here's a little. We're using Faith Life, which is a new program for us Many people have been using this for a while. But this interesting feature on Faith Life is now literally ticking off the minutes of the time that you are talking. And I'm looking at it right now as I'm speaking. And I don't even think that has to go up there. I think they just put it up there. That's what that is. That's right. But hey, that's what happens. It's the way we do it. And I think our worship team so far has sang 17 or 18 songs so far this morning, throughout the three services, and then two songs at the beginning of every service prior to people getting here or as people are getting here. So it's a lot. It's a lot going on. But since I have to be on time, I chose the shortest book in the Bible, 2 John. There's only 13 verses. Or no, let's see. Yeah, 13 verses. There's 14 verses in 3 John, but 13 verses in 2 John. And but I also wanted to, have something. I wanted to speak towards Mother's Day. And over the past 6 or 7 weeks, we have not been on my sermon calendar. It's been every week has been changed and designed to speak to what's going on, speak to the current climate. So next week we get back to our regular sermon calendar, my regular sermon calendar for the year. But this week I wanted to go from 2 John because it was the shortest, and I wondered if it spoke to mothers, and I read through the first verse, to the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in truth. This is just getting more and more convenient. I think this is just a wonderful choice here. The elder, John calls himself, to the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you that we get to worship again like this, that we get to see one another. And Father, we know that your church is forever. Your church is eternal. Your church is not so weak that it is hemmed in by walls. But we also know that this is a special treat for us. And we thank you for that special treat that we get to meet like this and see each other. Father, we ask that you be a part of this service, that what we say and what we do honors you, and that we are true and accurate to Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 John, starting in, there's only one chapter, in verse 1, 1 through 2, the elder lady chosen by God and to her children. So John is writing to a lady in the church, a woman in the church, a mom in the church. Maybe. There is speculation as to who the actual audience is that John is writing to. It is either to a lady in the church, we're going to find one that he reveres, a lady in the church, or writing to the church itself. This lady, this bride of Christ with her children, with her offspring, children of God. But either way you spin it, either way you look at it, the message that John's going to give to this mother, if he's writing specifically to a woman, applies to everybody. It applies to this mom. It applies to dads. It applies to the church. It applies to those who have the chance to teach. It applies to anyone who is able to teach and influence others. Every individual in the church. And his address is to this lady, this mom, and her kids. First of all, a lady chosen by God. This can be any lady. This can be any mom who follows Jesus. It can be any woman who influences others for the kingdom of God. And I don't think it's a stretch to stay on message. This can be any man, any father, any teacher who has the opportunity and acts upon that opportunity to lead others and teach others, particularly the young, those whose minds and hearts are being formed, those whose minds and hearts are impressionable. But we are impressionable throughout life. And so regardless of who you can and do choose to teach, this is one chosen by God. I love that. We see a lot throughout Scripture, with prophets and so forth, we see here was a man of God. Oh, you man of God. And I love how John is addressing this lady of God, this woman of God. And he addresses her and addresses her children. So he basically says, look, I'm talking to mom, but I'm talking to kids as well. This motherhood is a sacred position, And children would do well to honor her, as well as share in her glory, the glory of their parents who teach them about Jesus. I love the fact that we get to share in the glory of Christ. Not just honor Christ, though that would be enough. Not just us raising our voices to glorify Jesus, though that would be fine with me. No, Scripture tells us we get to share in the glory of Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing is, if we have a mother or a father or a Sunday school teacher or a person of the church who's teaching others about Jesus, and we honor that and we love that and we respect that and we heed that, we get to share in their glory as well. Honor your mother and father. From the very beginning of Scripture to the very end of Scripture, we hear this. And we bring honor, we bring glory to our moms and our dads when we acknowledge them and honor them. And so as he writes to mom and he writes to kids, we realize that this is not solely mom's responsibility, but John is addressing the children here as well. He also says this, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth. All who know the truth love this woman who teaches about Jesus. All who know truth love what she does. All who know truth love what she is trying to do and what she stands for. You see, you have brothers and sisters around you who stand for this same thing. And if we are connected in this way, acknowledging the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a reverence, yes, a reverence that you and I ought to have for one another as we lead others to know Christ. They love this woman if they love truth. All of this because of the truth that lives in us and will be with us forever. This is a way of John writing that says this is not going to diminish, it's not going to die out. In fact, it's going to strengthen over time. Those who honor Jesus honor those who teach and pursue Christ. I'll say this again because we're talking about our brothers and sisters, people that we may disagree with sometimes. But we still have an obligation to honor those who honor Jesus, honor those who teach and pursue the character of Christ. So what is this truth that John is talking about? Well, we know that it is Jesus. Notice, I love how he says it, how he addresses this woman to the lady chosen by God, an incredible reverence for this woman and her children. By the way, from those who know Christ. You know, it's interesting, in 3 John, you don't find this. You find a very informal address to Gaius, you know. It says to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in truth, not to this man of God, not to this revered title. In 1 John, you really find more of a broad salutation. But here is something very, very special. It is high language by John, this reverence for this woman, this lady of God. It makes no claim, by the way, so we see this honor and reverence and respect that John has for her because she teaches Jesus. It makes no claim, though, that those who do not know truth would honor this woman, and that's the way life is. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. Those who teach and are a part of the church very often are dishonored by others. And certainly, if you're a mom trying to raise your family to know Christ, you are fighting an uphill battle. You're swimming against the current, right? The Bible makes no promise that those who do not honor Christ would honor such women, would honor such men. And frankly, I'm okay, so long as I teach truth. People say you're raising your children wrong. People will say that it's harmful, hurtful. I don't care, so long as I'm teaching truth. People say you can't teach that, can't show that, can't say that. We're going to try to do what we can to shut down that church. I don't care. Shut down a million churches so long as we teach truth. Teach what is true. Teach what is honest. We're going to find out what that is, certainly as we understand what love is through John. Those who look upon her and address her with respect and admiration know Jesus, though. And so I ask the question when I read through this. This is going to sound a little weird at first. Am I that mother? Or really, am I that father? Or am I that man? Or am I that woman? As John writes and has this reverence and respect for this lady of God who teaches Jesus, You look at your life, you look at your home and your house, you look at your children or your grandchildren, you look at those you work with, you look at those you influence merely by how you act sometimes. Am I this woman who is revered by others as I teach Jesus Christ? I think we should be confronted with that question. Would John write to us in the same way? Yet he writes to this woman because of her love, because of her hospitality, because of her peacemaking, if you read a little bit of some of the context of this letter. Are you that man? Are you that woman? By the way, in Titus, Paul talks about the fact that older men should teach younger men, older women should teach younger women. Maybe you don't even have any children. That's okay. We still have the chance to teach others. You know, I keep forgetting, I was going to ask Jim during the break, but I keep forgetting this. It was either Jim Hoffman or Joe Ramsey one time was standing up here and was talking about the love and just fond memories they have of watching their kids, their children grow through the years. And they weren't talking about their biological kids. I'm sure they love that too. But they were talking about, you know, the kids that they've taught in Sunday school, right? Their children. As they've had the chance to teach and be this influence. As they've had the chance, really, to be this lady chosen by God and to her children. This is an incredible calling, an incredible station that this lady has. Verses 3 and 4 say this: grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son will be with us in truth and in love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in truth, just as the Father commanded us. It has given me, says John, great joy to watch your children believe in Jesus Christ. Know this, church, what you do, how you raise your children, what you believe, and what they end up believing extends far beyond your family proper. This is kind of a big calling, Mom. It's kind of a big calling, Dad. Others take great joy in seeing the fruit of your labor. I take great joy seeing the fruit of your labor and your teaching, as well as the honor they pay your children who heed this gospel message. I think this should be pretty evident in our church, as the entire church so often rallies around our children's ministry on so many occasions. We do what we can, sort of bend over backwards to help it grow. These children were, like their mother, practicing hospitality and sharing love. This was particularly special to John, as, again, if you go into some of the backstory, it appears as though this church was about to go into a split, or maybe was going through a split. Some continued to honor Christ, like this lady, this revered lady, and some honored merely a perversion of the word. Just as the Father commanded us, teaching and raising children to know Jesus. And it can be fun, it can be exciting, it can be very, very rewarding, and it can also be extremely difficult. John writes this in 1 John, and this command to believe in the name, or and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. This is what God commands us to teach our children, and how to live. There are highs and lows and good things, some things that don't make you particularly proud, some things that make you very proud. Speaking of that, Sam's learning about quotation fingers, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun having him in here. Quotation fingers. And I don't know how the whole thing went down, but it was a couple weeks ago. I think we got done with dinner or something, right? We got done with dinner and You wanted to give Mom a compliment on the dinner. You told her it was really good, right? It's a wonderful moment in my life. It really was. I'll remember it forever. Mom, that was really good. Yeah, be careful with those quotation fingers. You just can't be throwing those things everywhere, right? Quotation fingers. Other times they make you laugh and smile. Now, I've been holding on to this for 4 weeks, and I shared it with the first service. I didn't share it with the second service, but because Gary was here the first service. And I had a chance to cut Sam's hair, right? While we were, my hair needs a cut, but I had a chance to cut Sam's hair while we were waiting on all this stuff. And I told him, he said, "You want to cut my hair?" I said, "Well, yeah, I'll cut your hair." I said, "It might not look very good." I said, "It's going to be rough. It's going to be chopped up. It's going to be short here and long here. And I don't even know if I'm going to cut you in the process. I might." I said, "Or we can give Gary a call and you can go over and see if Gary will cut your hair, you know, there at his house." He thought about it for a minute. Said, "No, Dad, you go ahead and cut my hair." I loved that. I couldn't wait to talk. I wanted to call Gary up and tell him. You know, fantastic. Some of the things they did were just a lot of fun. Some of the things kids do can be very, very hard, very, very difficult, very, very sad when they reject and dishonor the teachings of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in 5 and 6, "And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." It is clear if you read through John's letters that love takes precedence in John's administration of the gospel. And it needs to and ought to take precedence in our lives. This, again, we've talked about this a million times, right? This is more than just an emotional connection. It's more than just an emotional affection, though it can be and often is a connection emotionally. This love is a decision of the will to show love to those around you. That's what this is. That's what this command has been throughout Scripture. It does, I think, perhaps sum up questions that we may have about raising our children, moms and dads, to know and love Jesus Christ. When Sam was born, I didn't know what to do, and Ashley didn't know what to do, and we asked and talked to a lot of people. We were that couple, that one couple that didn't know what to do when we had kids. We didn't have it figured out yet, all right? I'm just curious, right? Hey, let's just show of hands. Anybody else in that boat ever? You had kids and you were like, "I'm really not sure what to do here." Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I talked to Lynn about it. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people. One time I was talking to Lynn about it, and he told me, I said, "What do you do?" I said, "What's the first step?" He said, "I'll give you the first step and the last step." I said, "Really?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "You love them and you teach them how to love others." That was his way of summing up this command of Christ. Love God, love people, those around you. This command of John. And so it takes precedence in his administration. It ought to take precedence as we raise our children, summing up how to live out the gospel, perhaps summing up the desire and will of God. Love your children, love people, love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And yes, love even strangers. Yes, love even enemies. And in order to do this, we must know what love looks like. I could go for another hour just on that, but love looks like who Jesus is and what Jesus is, the character of Christ. She was displaying love in her hospitality and in her peacemaking. But this love towards strangers and enemies really leads to an important part of the message. This is an old command, John says, that he's giving to her, which she knows apparently very well, so why give it? Verse 7. "I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist." Well, he's got a way of sugarcoating it, doesn't he? He just lets you down easy. The antichrist. This is a warning. That's what John's writing to moms. That's what John's writing to dads. That's what John's writing to churches. That's what John's writing to all of those who would teach others. It's a warning. He starts this with "continue to love." He follows it with "use discernment and protect the house that you're pouring into." That's the house of your life. That's the house of your home. That's the house of your children. It's a warning. He tells us then and he tells us now. There are those around us who would deliberately try to thwart the message of the gospel. And any time anything is out of the ordinary, like it is today, it opens the door for this opportunity. They would pervert the gospel message. John's not talking here about the lost. He's not talking here about those who are seeking Christ. He's not even talking here about the multitudes who are ignorant of the gospel. He's talking about those who have a plan or a desire to lead you or your home or your church or your children away from Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, that's not some mystical, you know, future figure, all right? The Antichrist is anything that is anti-what? Christ. Against Jesus. These are those who would, to put it bluntly, would molest the hearts and minds of your children and your church. And they would do it to change the gospel message. Watch out that you do not work or lose what we have worked for, that you may be rewarded fully. And how is this done? How is this change, or how is this abandonment of the gospel message done? It's not done by telling others to abandon Jesus. It's done by telling others to come and follow my picture of Jesus. It's not done by telling others to abandon the gospel message. It's by altering it, changing it, putting our human spin on it, making it a little bit easier, nicer. And we leave the scripture, we leave the purity of it, we leave the truth of it. And eventually we leave out the love of the Word of God. So don't lose what you have worked for. Be on guard, is what he's telling her, this revered, noble lady, mom who teaches Jesus. Be alert, be strong, be courageous, be persevering, be wise, be convicted. Be peacemakers, mom, not appeasers. Be peacemakers, not appeasers. Now, I see no call here for belligerence. I see no call here for violence or hatred or fear or any of these things. There is a call to protection and discernment. And why? So that we do not have to lose what we have worked for, so that we will be rewarded fully. Look around. What have we gained? What have you gained? Look at your children. Look at the offspring of your hard work. Look at pick the Varner family sitting here together. Mom, dad, kids. Look to your rewards in heaven. See, John's not telling this woman that she's going to lose salvation. We are not condemned for our sin. All right? Jesus was condemned for your sin. God doesn't have to do that twice. He's already been condemned for your sin. But we are rewarded for our acts of faith and our perseverance in the Word of God. This is why John says, make sure that you are rewarded fully because of your faith and perseverance. Verse 9 says this, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Anyone who runs ahead, that is what he means here, is anyone who goes off on their own. Basically, anyone who says to Jesus, Jesus, you stay here, I know a better way, has not been saved by Jesus Christ because they have not accepted the lordship of Christ. And I love this because I can ask myself, do I believe in Jesus? Am I saved by Christ? Is he the Lord of my life? Have I accepted the truth of the gospel message? Well, according to John and Jesus himself, if you keep my commands, says Jesus, you love me. Love God and love others. You do not love God by allowing that which is antichrist into your home, into your teaching, into your influence that you have over people. 10 and 11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in this wicked work. And this should not surprise anyone. This is kind of a downer right now, right? It's not meant to be. This shouldn't surprise anyone. If you look at Galatians, Paul talks about this in Galatians. It says, if an angel of heaven comes and preaches something that we haven't preached, let that angel be eternally condemned. He doesn't just say that. Paul says, if we come back to you and teach a different gospel, let us be eternally condemned. And it's the same thing John is saying. Don't allow this falsehood into your home and don't participate in it. It's a command to boot. And I realize that this is not a particularly fun message, but it is an important message. This message is meant to encourage. This message is meant to strengthen. This message is meant to remind this noble lady that, first of all, she's not in this alone. Second of all, God is aware of the hardship and struggle that she or the church goes through. And finally, everything she does, whether it's mom or dad or the church or the body, has these ramifications throughout history that are matters of life, matters of death. It's an important message all the more as days grow dark and as the final hour approaches. And so if you're if you're mom, and if you're celebrating and loving Mother's Day and you've been looking forward to this, just know that with it comes this incredibly noble task, and you've got a job to do. That job is to protect that house. You be a peacemaker, but not an appeaser. Dad, your job is to protect that house, protect that truth. Your job is to be a peacemaker, not an appeaser. Church, your job is the same thing. Teachers, your job is the same thing, to protect that house, to teach truth, to show love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us the gift of meeting. We thank you that you've given us the gift of your word. We thank you, Father, that you care about this body and that you care about moms and dads who have the opportunity to teach their children about Christ. Father, I ask that you will give them hope, give them strength, give them perseverance, as they give them courage as they move forward and take on this awesome, weighty task. Father, I ask, as we talk about moms, we talk about fathers, we talk about dads upholding and uplifting moms as they try to teach their children, that fathers come in and help and guide and assist, and that their knowledge and their wisdom is poured out upon their family, that they stand before Satan himself and say, you will come this far and you will go no further. You'll have to go through me. Father, give these moms and dads courage, strength, and perseverance. Shape it all with wisdom and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand and sing.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on.